Amen. I seem to find the yea in the old and the amen in the new. Glory to God. Psalm number 73. I will read from the King James. Turn my button on. There we go. Psalm number 73. I've read this psalm. I was telling someone the other day. I don't know how many dozens of times. Probably close to 100 altogether. And I never got out of it what I got out of it recently. You know, and I think maybe it's because I have a tendency in the psalms to read part of a psalm. But when you read the whole thing, hallelujah. This is known as a psalm of Asaph, if anyone really cares. There are two Asaphs in the Bible. One is a leader. You'll find him in 1 Chronicles. But I believe the Asaph speaking here, and you can argue later if you want, happens to be one of King David's choir leaders. So it really doesn't matter. I checked out all the people who are supposed to know about this, and they go, oh, no. Hallelujah. They didn't quite say that when you look at their books, but basically they say, oh, no. Praise God. So this is a psalm of Asaph. Psalm number 73, read it with me if you will. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, and my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than the heart could wish. They are corrupt, speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore, his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world, they increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I plagued and chastised every morning. Have I been plagued and chastised every morning? If I say I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou dost set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down to destruction. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee, and thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart, and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou shalt destroy them, all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. This is an amazing, amazing confession to the thoughts of a human being. Last week, as I'd mentioned, we weren't here, and my wife and I were very blessed, and some of our family. We traveled not too far from here, an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes, to my hometown of Middletown, New York. And while we were there, we were blessed to watch our oldest grandson, become married. It was great. It makes me feel a little bit old when I see my children with gray hair in their beard. I got to tell my son you shouldn't grow a beard because it makes me feel old. Jimmy's got gray hair in his beard. I told him that. He said, well, where's your beard? I shaved it off because it was too white. You're next. Hallelujah. But it was just good. All but one of our children were there. Bruce couldn't make it. But we had a really, really good time. I had a few anxious moments during the service. I sat there. Now, I understand that my grandson does not serve Jesus yet. I understand that my son is running away from God at the moment. But it was very difficult for me to sit there and listen to all these Native American blessings. And I got to tell you, I did a lot of speaking in tongues. Because whatever they were calling upon, I didn't want nothing to do with it. But it really troubled me that it was happening. But when I thought about it, it dawned on me, see, I shouldn't really be troubled. I should expect people who don't serve Jesus to think with alternate philosophies, alternate cultures. And when I realized that, they were done with the service and I was done with the tongues. But the more I thought about it, I said, yeah, I guess I need to expect that from people who really don't know and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It should not upset me, and I did not let it, and we went on to have a good time. However, when I see church people, when I see people who are blood-bought, blood-washed, spirit-filled, applying to, using, and recycling alternate philosophies, then I get disturbed. Then I get, I'll use an Old Testament word, I get vexed. It troubles me. It troubles me. I think it's very important, I know it's very important, for us to guard our thinking. I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, but I'm going to say it again. You'll get tired of hearing me say it in about a month or two. But I sat with an educator recently. He's a believer, but he's also an educator. And we sat in the room, and he finally figured out who I was and what I do, besides work in the school system with kids. And we got talking. It's great to sit in the principal's office and talk about Jesus. He kept looking towards the door and whispering. Someone came in, I knew he was going to have to change the subject. But we got talking, and I told him I was Pentecostal. And you know how it is when someone tells you they're Baptist? You only think, I know what they believe. Well, I'm Methodist, I know what you believe. Well, as soon as I said Pentecostal, I seen it. He didn't snap his fingers like I just did, but he knew what I believed. And wouldn't you know, he couldn't help himself. He started talking about the need to not be so caught up in feelings. And my smile's getting bigger and bigger. He said, we got to know a few things too. I said, you mean like Jesus told the woman at the well, she needed to worship him in spirit and in truth. But he made a really good point, and it's a point that we agree on, and it's worth repeating. He says, we need to have both, because sometimes I don't feel what I'm supposed to feel. But when I don't feel it, I know it. Yeah, and I really believe that you and I, as Christians, we need to know a few things. We need to know who we serve, why we serve Him, how we serve Him. We need to know a couple of things. Hallelujah. It's good to have a feeling. I love the chill bumps that come with the anointing. I love being in big meetings and small meetings where the power of God just washes over the place. But when I'm home by myself and the things are going wrong, I might not feel that, Brother Dave. I can sing the same songs we sing on a Sunday. I can turn into the radio and listen to T.D. Jakes scream. I can do all those things. But sometimes, I got to rely on what's going on up here. I really do believe, and forgive me if you don't, I believe that we need to be careful what we think. I believe we need to guard our thinking. And we need to guard the source that formulates or forms the way we think. What am I talking about? I'm talking about taking in, being entertained by, considering and thinking for too long, alternate thinking. Things that reject God, things that turn away from God. I heard a woman during this wedding give a blessing, and I almost had a hard time behaving myself at this point. Given a blessing, I'm thinking to myself, who in God's name is she calling upon to bring this blessing? Because you kept making a first person, you blessed, and you. I'm thinking, who are you talking to in between speaking in tongues? Because I was not sure. But I do believe that as Christians, we can begin to take on the philosophies of the world around us, and if we don't take it on, it can affect our decision making. It can affect the way we think about the things of God. How many times have you heard, please don't raise your hand, maybe on the radio, I heard this on Christian radio, and I just became livid. A man called in, with the Japan tsunami. A man called in and said, why are we sending money to Japan when we got enough hungry people here in the United States? See, that's the kind of thinking. Now, if you're thinking that way, you can get mad at me if you want, but you know what? We are called to go on beyond our shores, beyond Honesdale, beyond Pennsylvania, beyond the United States. Hallelujah. I mean, the prayer says, our Father, which art in heaven. But if we allow that kind of thinking, it won't be long before we recycle and it comes out of our own mouth. Hallelujah to God. Whatever the case may be, whatever the situation may be, it may be on giving, it may be on abortion, it may be on worship, it could be on a lot of things. Hallelujah. I heard people recently, you know, I think you all know that Brother David Wilkinson went home to be with the Lord. And I heard people busting on him because he was on the wrong side of the road. Man had a heart attack. Quit judging him. But we get these kind of thinkings going on. Well, he wasn't on the wrong side of the road. Well, yeah, if he didn't have a heart attack, he wouldn't have went on the wrong side of the road. And I'm sure there's someone out there, I didn't run into him, thank God. They said, well, if he's a man of God, he wouldn't have had a heart attack. We can take on, and I'm going to ask you to go home and check out your thinking. We can take on the philosophies, and it can taint, it can color, it can mess up our thinking about God. Instead of thinking with the mind of God, which you have, by the way, that's something I got to preach again one of these days. You're not going to have the mind of Christ. You got it. Just the same as you aren't going to have to die in Christ because you're dead in Christ. Are you out there? That may be too hard to think about. We need to allow or not allow things of the world to taint our opinions, because once we take it on, we begin to think about it like it's our own. And it begins to color and destroy our own thinking. I want to look at this man's thinking. Hallelujah. This is a man. Asaph is a man in crisis. Okay, here's the first part of his crisis. He starts out by saying, truly God is good to Israel. Amen. I lived down south for a while, and every time I'd say God is good, whole congregation would say whatever they say, you know, all the time. That's what it was. I say God is good. They go all the time. And I say all the time. They go God is good. Even in our worst days as a Christian, most of us at least remember that God is good. Amen. But look on, says, even to such are as are of a clean heart. Basically, he's saying God is good to everyone else. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. Please don't change your facial posture right now. But how many times do we look around and say, oh, God is good to Sister Sharon. God is good to Brother Dave. God is good to Sister Anita. But oh, man. I am a mess. You say, I never said that. This man did. But as for me, God is good. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Can I give you a little Hebrew insight? This is a picture. Hebrew is a very picturesque language. Picturesque. Got an extra vowel, an extra syllable in there. This shows a picture of a man or a woman standing on a rock with the waters rising to his nose. And if he doesn't stay on the rock, if he slips, he's going to drown. There's a word picture for you. Get that in your mind. As for me, my feet were almost gone. He was in trouble. He knew that God was good. I might not get to my notes. I hope I don't. But my steps, God's good to those who love Him. God's good to those who tithe. God's good to those who do this. God's good to them. He says, but as for me, not so much. Amen. And here's the problem. If we allow ourselves to think that God is going to pick and choose who He's good to, that God won't love you unless you do more or act a certain way or whatever, if you think that, you're going to have to draw the conclusion this man drew. This is what happened to this man's thinking. This is a man who loved God. If it's the one I think it is, he was King David's choir leader. He was a worship leader. And he looked around and said, God is good, but not to me. And this is what developed in his thinking. For I was envious at the foolish. He was looking at the world. He was looking at those outside the body of Christ, and he began to envy them. I want you to think about that next time you see someone with a bigger car than you got. Next time you see someone with fancier clothes than you wear. Think of somebody who may have an iPhone 4 or whatever the heck that thing is. I don't even know. As long as it makes a phone call, I'm happy. But I see, especially in the younger generation, I'm not picking on you. I'm talking about people younger than you in school fighting because they don't have a touch phone yet. And social bullying because they can't swish around their phones like everyone else does. Well, next time you see somebody who has more, looks like they're more successful, looks like they're happier, and you wish you were them, that's where this guy was. He didn't check his thinking. He began to envy the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You may have never had this thought. I've had it from time to time. Why me? Why me? For me, I'm 62 years old. I've worked hard. I've served God. Why am I struggling? Meanwhile, the guy in my town, who's selling cocaine, is driving around in a $150,000 car and doesn't seem to have a problem in the world. Why me? Hallelujah. See, y'all may be too religious to admit you ever thought like this. Hallelujah. For there are no bands in their death. Hallelujah. You look at things on the surface, you start believing this stuff. It'll make you sour. It'll make you bitter. But their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men. I have at times told my overseer, I am weary in well-doing. Bible says don't be. There are times. Now you can get mad at me and judge me if you want. I want to help you here today. There are times I get tired of doing the right thing. Because when I do the right thing, it doesn't always feel good. I get in trouble. Things happen. But Lord, if I just told this one little lie over here, I'd be okay. After all, the other people I work with do that. Uh-oh. They're not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain, and violence covers them as a garment. Do I need to explain that? He said, they're all dressed up in it. That's not a bad thing he's talking about. He's looking at it as a good thing. Look, they're all dressed up. They're wearing gold chains and purple robes. And they say, how does God know? And there is knowledge. Is there knowledge in the Most High? They look at God. I've had people look at me and laugh and say, you fear God? You know my answer is? I go, my God, you don't. But people around us, people in the world, people who don't serve God, God won't know. God won't know if I do this little thing. God's not listening. God's not watching. Your mama may not know. Your daddy may not figure it out. Hallelujah. I told you, I spent time with my adult children this weekend. I found out things I did not know, probably shouldn't have known. When they come around the table, especially my girls, and they start talking, I say, don't tell me. Daddy don't want to know that. But God does. But people will look and say, what's the big deal? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Hallelujah. Here's his problem. Hallelujah. He's not doing so good. He's slipping because he's thinking that the world around him is getting a better deal than he does. I had a man walk into my office in a different church. Anybody here old enough to remember little Abner? Is it? I don't even know if it's still in print. Is it still in print? Well, John, I mean, yeah. There was a character in little Abner. I don't even remember his name. But he always walked around with this black, looked like a robe on, all tattered and tear. But there was a black cloud with a thunderbolt coming, a lightning bolt coming out of it. And every place he went, there was trouble. The man I'm thinking of, I swear if you looked in the spirit, you could have seen the cloud. Good man, loved the Lord. Probably had some of the most natural, greatest quantity of natural preaching abilities I'd ever seen in my life. Natural born evangelist. Great man. But the cloud wouldn't leave him. And every time he turned around, something was going wrong. One day I was in my office and he come knocking on the door. And I could tell by his face the cloud was not far behind. And we got to talking. And here's what he said to me. He said, I don't get it. I serve God. I come to church regularly. I preach. I give. I do everything right. Why doesn't God treat me better? Now, I got to tell you something. You may look at that man like I did that day and kind of judge him. But if your circumstances change radically enough, you could think the same thing. That's what was going on with this Asaph. That's what was going on with the psalmist. He was looking at what they had. He was looking at all the stuff they did. He said, I don't get it. They get a better deal than I did, and sometimes it feels that way. Be careful with that kind of thinking. I'll go on. Hallelujah. Where am I? I told you I shouldn't have stuck to the notes. Here we go. Hallelujah. People around us, sometimes they act like and talk like there's no God. They declare themselves to be atheists and evangelize the world in the name of that humanist, godless religion. People stand and say there is no God, and they get in your face and preach it to the world. You don't believe me? Watch the news sometime. Watch the commentaries. Watch the talk shows. People preach it. They're evangelical, and they're atheism. And he looked at them and said, I don't understand this. Hallelujah. They laugh when you warn of God and His righteousness. They scoff when we speak of His love for all of mankind, including those who deny and curse Him, by the way. The love of God goes past the doors of the church. Those on the street, those on the sidewalk, those in the bars, those in the drug rehab, those, I'm talking about all of mankind. Jesus so loved, God so loved Him, He gave His only begotten Son. And they'll laugh and mock and scoff if you try to bring that up. And the man, Asaph, is looking at this and says, I don't get it. Hallelujah. And he makes the statement in verse 12. Just so you know where I'm in this thing. Verse 12, he's almost at the end of his rope. Thank God for short ropes. Thank God we finally come to the end of it. And you know what? If you want to tie a note in and hang on, you go right ahead. I'm tired of that rope. I'm tired of hanging on to unbelief. I'm tired of hanging on to bitterness. I'm tired of that. And as Christians, we need to let go of the rope. This man in verse 12 is almost at the end of his rope. And you just may be surprised how he gets set free. I was. That's why I'm preaching it. He said, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world and increase in riches. He had drawn a conclusion. The bad have all of the power. The bad have all of the wealth. The bad have everything. Oh, I'm not going to ask you to think about it now, but I want you to go home. When's the last time you looked at the government of Honesdale? When's the last time you thought about the people who own the businesses? When's the last time you looked around and thought to yourself, yeah, just another sinner? Hallelujah. We look around, we seem to think, those folks out there, hallelujah. What the psalmist was seeing from his vantage point was that he was getting a raw deal and all the bad folk was getting the good stuff. Now, I don't know if you've ever been at that vantage point or whether you are right now. I'm sure no one in here feels that way, but if you're listening on the internet, check out yourself. If you're beginning to have that vantage point that only the world is being blessed, then I'm talking to you today. I'm talking to you. Hallelujah. That will so embitter you. That will destroy, nothing I can think of will destroy your faith more than jealousy because a sinner gets blessed and you don't. So y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. That's okay. I'll accept this kind of crazy. Amen? People begin to badmouth God. This is what I see going on here. All the way up to verse 1, he's starting to badmouth God. God, look what you're doing. How come? It's like the man sitting in my office. I've been doing this for God. God should treat me better. I got to tell you something. A couple of months ago, I heard myself say the same thing to God. And it echoed through my office. And, oh, my God, what have I just said? Come on, people. Cursing, using His name in vain, mocking, blaspheming, proudly declaring their contempt for God and all He stands for. Do you know there's a certain pride in the voice of the heathen? There's a certain pride that will get in your face that there is no God. Look at me. Hallelujah. They attack God's people. Anybody ever heard of the ACLU? I shouldn't get into this. I can't help it. I was watching the news the other day. You got to be careful. I don't care if it's Fox, CNN, MSNBC. It doesn't matter. And they were talking about a woman who was in a building a year ago and was offended in this Christian building because there was a cross in there. And brought suit to the ACLU because she would not let her daughter graduate under the sign of the cross. And you know what? They covered up the cross. Now, I got a question for you. I'm not the smartest person in the world. I don't have a legal brain. You got one who's offended. You got thousands who are not. One offended, thousands not. Thousands not, one offended. It's not hard for me to figure that out. How about this? I'm offended because you covered the cross. Hallelujah. Sorry about that. I get on these rants once in a while. I just can't help it. Glory unto God. Glory unto God. We need to ask ourselves a question. How do we see God from our vantage point? From our mind that's been affected by whatever. If your mind is being affected by the Word, if your mind is being affected by preaching, your mind is being affected by praise, chances are you're going to have a whole different attitude. Hallelujah. This person kept thinking about all what they thought was bad. Glory unto God. We need to be careful not to judge God, by our own standards. I want to show you what happens next. All of this negative thinking, it leads to something. I told you, I've read this for 30 years and never seen this until about 2 weeks ago. He's going through this whole thing. He's looking at the people. He's starting to see God's blessing them. He's not blessing me. And look what happens by verse 13. This man, I'm not picking on him because we've all done it, or we're capable of it. This man made a decision. So all these people are getting blessed. All these people got good. God's blessing them and not me. And here's the next thing. He says, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. Basically, what he said is, I have been wasting my time serving God. Now, I say that with a fire in my loins here. How many people walk away from God, run away from God? I don't know that anyone falls away, because I believe it's a decision. I could be wrong on that. Hallelujah. You got to be careful. If you keep thinking the wrong thoughts long enough, you're going to draw the wrong conclusion. 12 verses of thinking the wrong thoughts, Brother Jeff. And verse 13, if you're following Psalm 73:13, this man drew a conclusion. His conclusion is, I'm wasting my time serving God. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to think about that. The reason being, for all day long I'm plagued and chastised every morning. It's not worth serving God because it's a hardship. It's not worth serving God because I'm still being punished. It's not worth serving God because they're still got all the blessings and I don't. You see, I'd never say that. I'm talking about your thinking, where it can lead you. It's important. Truly, truly, it's important to guard your minds, guard your thinking, guard your spirit. What are you taking in to yourself? What are you listening to? What are you watching? Who are you hanging with? What are you doing for fun? I'm not against going to an amusement park. I'm not against listening to music. I'm not against any of that. Meet me when I was legalistic 20 years ago, I'd put you in hell for it. God gave me some grace. But He didn't give enough grace that you can handle fire without smelling like smoke. You can't grab a hold of the hot coals without burning yourself. And you can't entertain ungodly thinking and philosophies and opinions without it affecting your own philosophy and opinions. Hallelujah. And I will tell you this. I better be careful. I'm about ready to go into psychology here. I better stop. But I will say this, be careful what you think, because it'll give you some feelings. Your feelings will cause you to do something. Okay? I'll just leave it at that. I've cleansed my heart in vain. The psalmist was drawing a very dangerous conclusion here. In essence, he said, I'm wasting my time on God. Now, I'm not looking at your face. I don't want to read your body language. But I have to wonder. Because I've been in this man's place myself. How many times have we laid in the bed on a Sunday morning and say, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? Is it worth it to go on? Is it worth it to keep preaching? Is it worth it to keep... The brother said, I can't help it. I seriously thought less than a year ago about closing these doors. I really did. But I was talking to Brother John. Brother John's pretty good for me. And he said, brother, if you close the doors, where are you going to end up? And I thought about it and thought about it and thought, you know what? I'm going to end up backslid. I need to be serving God because God's all I got. And if this is the way I'm going to serve Him, this is the way I'm going to serve Him. But in the meantime, I'm not entertaining the negativity in the world today. The church is irrelevant. The scriptures are too old. Come on, you've heard all the lies I've heard. Hallelujah. This man was drawn to a conclusion because of his own stinking thinking. You say, well, I'd never say that. The man in my office a few years ago never thought he would, and I never thought I would either. It happens. Hallelujah. This guy, this Asaph, he's having what we call a pity party. You know why? He's disillusioned with God. I want you to think about this. God didn't come up to his expectations. God didn't do what he thought God should do. He prayed and God didn't answer the way he thought he should pray. He said, God, those people don't deserve it. God says, it ain't none of your business. I don't know about you, but I don't like it when God looks at me and says, it ain't none of your business, boy. He does that from time to time. But what about them? It's scriptural. They're around the fire and Jesus is with them. And they turned around and they looked at him and said, what about him? He says, none of your business what he does. You go preach the gospel. You go follow me. Hallelujah. The man, because of his thinking, was drawn to make a conclusion that God was unfair. Maybe, just maybe he made a mistake. He's thinking, I made a mistake with all this God stuff. Maybe I should have hung on to the world. But in the midst of the complaining and the questioning, something amazing happens in these next couple of verses. I'm always amazed by God. I shouldn't be, but I am. I see God do stuff. Now, here's this guy. He's already, for all of posterity, told everybody, I've wasted my time. But in the very next sentence, which is probably the same thought, he says, if I say I will speak this, behold, I shall offend against the generation of your children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. In the midst of his negativity, he kept his mouth shut. He refused to negatively affect the rest of the believers, the rest of the people, the rest of the attenders. He says, I know if I say these things, I'm going to have a negative effect on your children. He decided to keep his mouth shut. If there's anything I know of that'll give power to a thought, is speaking it. Think about this. I tell kids all the time. Y'all got kids, right? You ever notice they get to an age, or maybe they're born this way, I'm not sure. They seem to think they have the God-given right to say absolutely anything that comes in their mind. All the parents are going, uh-huh. I tell children all day long, I says, don't speak everything you think. You don't have to do that. There's some wisdom here, folks. If you keep your mouth shut, you're not going to confirm your own suspicions and irritations. And if you keep it shut long enough, there's an answer on the way. See, when you begin to make a statement, God is this, God did that, God the other thing. The problem is you start believing your own lies. And you begin to convince yourself as well as others that God was a waste of time. So when I thought about it, this is great. He started out by saying God is good. Ran this whole bunch of complaints, made the wrong decision, but in the midst of it, there was something in the man's heart. No matter where you are and what you're up to and what you've done, if you've given your heart to Jesus, he's in there someplace. Come on. He's in there. You may think he's hiding me. He's just waiting for the right moment. And just about the time you're not expecting to go, here I am! Hallelujah! Glory. I'm glad this is not on video. Glory. I mean, you're supposed to come like a child. They don't get more childlike than me. Think about Jesus. He's hiding in your heart. There's this big old rock called unbelief, and he's hiding behind it. And you're doing your thing, and just about the time you let your guard down, goes, boo, I'm here. I don't think he says boo. God will come out wherever you got him hidden, and he will just blow you away and say, I'm here. Whoo, hallelujah. I can't think of nothing more embarrassing for a backslider than for Jesus to show up in the midst of having fun. When I got saved, I couldn't get stoned no more because it wasn't any fun. I couldn't get drunk no more. Jesus just messed it all up. Thank God. I'm telling you, I had him hid back there, brother. I had him hid behind that cake of PCP from all the stuff I was saying. And every once in a while, he'd jump out. I'd start crying. Nothing more embarrassing than being stoned out of your mind trying to act macho and breaking out into a ball. They all thought I was crazy. No, I was born again. Hallelujah. God didn't give up on me. When I thought that I might mess the people up, oh my God, it was too painful. He thought it. He didn't blab it. Whew, hallelujah. How much harm do we do? Now I'm getting close to the end. Hallelujah. I haven't got to the good part yet. Next verse is, woo, hallelujah. How much harm, excuse me, do we do by complaining about God to His children? I'm going to make it personal. What about your own children? What about our children? What is their impression of God based on what we've said about Him? Based on how we act? Based upon our own habits of worship? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know. Sometimes you need to talk, okay? But be careful who you dump on. My last pastor was a construction guy with big trucks and stuff. And he had this bit of advice he gave me. It didn't make no sense until he explained it. Sometimes you gotta explain yourself. He said, if you're gonna dump, dump uphill. Didn't get it. Until he taught me, if you got a dump truck, some of y'all guys, y'all know what I'm talking about, John. And you got to dump. Don't park on a hill with the nose going like this and dump because it's going to pull the truck over. It says you're going to dump uphill. You got to turn the truck around and dump it uphill so gravity don't pull you down. Well, what's that got to do with the gospel? Just about everything. If you're going to talk, if you're going to complain, and sometimes you need to, find somebody that you're not going to wreck. Dump uphill. Find someone who's strong. Find someone who's well-grounded in the gospel. Talk to a good counselor. Talk to a pastor. Talk to an elder. Talk to a brother or sister in the Lord if they are well-grounded. Do not go to the weakest sheep in the church and start complaining that God's not taking care of you. Because you'll be gone and so will they in just a short amount of time. Hallelujah. I'm sure you've all heard. You're going to hear it at least once more. How wolves hunt. You don't have to have a Bible education. Turn on History Channel or Animal Channel. You will find that the pack of wolves will follow the main herd and will not attack because there is power and safety in the main herd. They will wait, however, till one of those elk or whatever begin to straggle. And the further they get away from the main herd, the wolves move in. And little by little, they draw the straggler further and further and further, and then they kill him. Devil has been called a wolf in Scripture, one of the metaphors. He hunts the same way. If he can get you away from the body of Christ, a couple weeks ago I'm going to preach about the body. It's fascinating to me. But if he can get you, the devil gets you away from the strength of the church, the strength of the brother, the strength of the fellowship, he will take you further and further and further. And before you know it, you're surrounded by the devil. You're surrounded by everything that's evil. And you're about to be slaughtered and become lunch because you didn't stick with the herd. Hallelujah. I want you to think about that next time you turn on the Animal Channel. Hallelujah. He says two things here. He couldn't bear to think about causing one of God's children to stumble, and maybe that in his own cognitive powers, he couldn't figure it out anyway. That last one is just my thoughts. It could be. I'm wondering. When I thought to know this, now, is he talking about this here? Not sure. Or is he talking about the next sentence? So I tried to figure it out. Doesn't make sense. So, all that said, what can you do when you find yourself, or if you find yourself, in a similar situation? You're doubting God, disappointed, disillusioned. What do you do? Take a look at the next verse. Let me see what this guy did. I love this. He was all messed up. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then, peace marked the word then I understood their end. Who? Who's they? All the people he thought were doing so well. Hallelujah. There's a lot of good things and good reasons to come to church. But I don't know if you've ever considered this one, to learn understanding. To see things as they really are. If you think that out there, for the sake of the tape, I'm pointing out the door. If you think that's reality, this is reality. Sitting with like-minded people, worshiping God, raising your hands before heaven, expecting God to do something great and miraculous. That's reality. That's reality. But when you're trying to do it by yourself, I understand you can have a church moment in the middle of Walmart. Go right on ahead and do it. But there's something about coming together in the corporate body, joining your faith together, people believing the same thing, looking to God and saying, God, we have come to receive. We're going to worship and praise you, and we're going to get blessed just because we're here. There's something about that that causes us to look at the world around us and say, that's not real. Why am I jealous of it? Why do I want it? I've got everything I need in the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. Consider this today, okay? Whatever or whoever you are, you're in here, you're listening on the internet. This you're hearing today is influencing your opinions and the decisions you make. Did you get that? This stuff I'm saying to you, this stuff I'm preaching, the songs that were sung, the testimonies, the prayers, all of this is having an influence upon your thinking, your decision making. But then again, when you go home and turn on Oprah, I know she retired. But you turn on Oprah, or you turn on, what's the other guy there with the gray hair? Jerry Springer. So y'all laugh, but I know Christians who watch him. Come on. Listen to me. Here's your grace. Watching Jerry Springer will not put you in hell. But it might cause you to think like living like it. It affects you. I know you don't look at Jerry Springer. That's how I'm going to think. No. But here's what happens. There's kind of a layered effect. You get a little bit of negativity here. Then tomorrow you see some more negativity. Then you hear a song. Then you talk to somebody. And before you know it, it starts to build up in your mind, Brother Bob. And when you're least expecting it, you regurgitate the very stuff you've heard and seen, and it becomes your statement. Hallelujah. I want you to think about this. I really do. There's a lot of good reasons to come to church. But one of the things about coming to church is when you come into the body, when you come into the corporate gathering of the church, you begin to think alike. There's safety. You begin to look at stuff and say, wait a minute. That out there is not what God said. That's not Bible out there. There's certain strength. And this man who believed all that stuff and made a decision, he already made the decision, said God was a waste of time. He went into the church and he understood. Let's see what he understood. Hallelujah. He understood if you spend more time with the ungodly than the godly, or his activities, or his words, your decisions on how you live your life are going to reflect those you hang with. I've had people say, well, that's guilt by association. Pretty much. If I'm hanging out with gangsters, chances are, in time, I'm going to become a gangster. I could be wrong. You want to try it, help yourself. Hallelujah. I used to do a lot of drinking, Brother Dave. I mean, a lot of drinking. I told people I smoked enough dope to sink a battleship and drank enough whiskey to float one. But now, I stay away from it. Is it legalistic? No. Did God tell me through His Bible that I would go to hell if I had a drink of wine at my grandson's wedding? No. But I chose not to. Why is that? I don't want to add that into my thinking. I don't want to add that into my experiences. My decision to remove myself from that. Some people will only watch certain things on TV. Some people watch anything on TV. Is it affecting? I'm not going to tell you what to watch. I don't have one of those PG. That don't make any sense to me. If you turn something on and it's vexing your spirit, or you find something in you really like and it's exciting you, you might better stop a second and check and see if it's okay with Jesus. Because you know what? If you watch, I got to be careful. I'm asking God. I finally got up the nerve to do it. Ask God to deliver me from all those karate movies. I can't help it. I love to see people getting kicked in the head. I know it's not good. Can't help it. There's something about the, whoa, it just gets me going. I don't even watch that their lips don't match the words anymore. I just, it doesn't matter. I love the ones where when the guy gets a spinning reverse roundhouse kick, gets hit in the head, and 3 seconds later he goes, oh. You just realize you got kicked? Anyway, I'm asking God to deliver me because it's not good for me. I'm beginning to accept that kind of violence as okay. And I find something in me it likes. I like seeing people getting their butt kicked. They deserve it. I'm ahead of the director on this one. This one's getting the butt kicking. I just hear, there it is, throw a whooping on them. I get into that stuff. I'm not here to speak against that if you're doing it. I'm not here to speak against Halo or any of those other things. You know what Halo is? God bless you. Hallelujah. It's a video game. Grand Theft Auto. I asked a parent one time, they're talking about their son. They just bought their son the game Grand Theft Auto. I don't know which number it was. And I looked at it kind of quizzically because the boy was violent. And I said, do you know what Grand Theft Auto is? Well, yeah, it's a racing game. Do me a favor, Mama. Tonight, when your boys are playing Grand Theft Auto, peek over their shoulder and watch it. When I came back next week, they had lost the game. I didn't tell her to take it away, but I think it was a good decision. If you spend more time with the TV than you do with God, you begin to quote the TV instead of God. Are you out there? If you get your news from Fox or CNN or some other worldly source, you're going to find yourself believing their news instead of the good news. Now, I'm not telling you to shut your TV off. I'm not telling you to do any of that stuff. I'm asking you to consider the fact that the stuff we do may be affecting our opinions, may be affecting the way we do or do not serve God. The books you read, hang on, music you listen to, entertainment you choose, the people you hang with, all influence your decisions, opinions, and actions. Now, if you knew me even 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I would have preached that as law. You're going to hell for doing that. I'm not going to preach that, but I'm going to warn you that everything that goes past this brain is remembered. And sometimes at the most inopportune moments. It affects you. It affects me. Hallelujah. Glory unto God. I'm sure my family thinks I'm a bit legalistic. They tried to get me. They had an open bar at the wedding. I did not walk past the bar, in the bar, or to the bar. And I'm not blaming anybody who did. But for me, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do it. I know they looked at me crazy when I put the wine glass back down and wouldn't toast. I thank God for the toast. I don't want to drink it. That's me. Whatever your weakness is, whatever your thing is, guard yourself. Guard yourself. I'm not legalistic here, but this is practical and this is honest. Okay? Now, the man looked at the ungodly. The more he watched, the more he decided God was being unfair, and he foolishly charged God. But when he went to the house of God, he got understanding. When he put things back in perspective, he saw that God was not only good, but he was good to him. Hallelujah. So what's in the house of God that caused him? I'm going to make this fast as I can. What caused him to understand? Well, there was corporate worship. There's testimony. There's prayer for the sick. There's teaching, preaching of the kingdom principles. There's people of like faith, having like trials and like doubts, working together for a common goal. It's called destiny. When he came into the house of God, he's seeing things. Listen, brothers and sisters. Whatever you're facing, doubt, fear, lack of faith, don't unplug from the source of your power. You see what I did with the fan over here during the exhortation? Don't unplug yourself. You'll stop, just like that fan stopped when I pulled the plug on it. Don't quit coming to church. Draw closer to the family, the body, because we need one another. Now, real quick, I'm going to make this real fast. I went too long today. I want to show you real fast what he understood. Real fast. It's just still only 7 minutes after 12. What do you understand? Verse 18. Surely thou dost set them in slippery places. Now he's seeing these same people in a different light. Surely you set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. He was just praising their success a few moments ago. He came into the presence of God and God's people. Now he's seen it plain. God made it plain to him. As a dream, verse 20, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Hallelujah. All of a sudden, they weren't so prosperous anymore. all of a sudden they weren't to be envied anymore. Because now I see now that my worst day in Christ is better than their worst day in their best day in the world. Hallelujah. Next question. How deep was his understanding? Next verse. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant, I was a beast before thee. There's something about coming into the presence of God. When you're carrying the wrong spirit, the wrong attitude, when you come into that presence, conviction comes. Man didn't say what was being preached, didn't say what was being sang, just said he was there. Hallelujah. He looked at himself differently. He understood not only the goodness of God, but he understood the depth of his own mistake. Hallelujah. So, with all that, here's a great place for another pity party. Here's a great place to just walk out so condemned. But what did he really understand about his standing with God? With all that was going, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by the right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. This is a man. This is a person who's now back in right standing with God. But you know what he found out? Even when he was thinking wrong, he was still with God. Here's the grace. Here's the grace. God doesn't get upset and throw a temper tantrum if we get it wrong. Hello? You can have it wrong and God will still love you and use all of his power to bring you back to right. Hallelujah to God. Nevertheless, he said, I'm continually. He knew that even in his time of making bad decisions based on bad input, based on bad thinking, God had not given up on him. Where do you think this came from? You guide me with thy counsel. There was something about coming into the sanctuary. There was something about coming back to the presence of God. Something about coming back to the church. He found counsel. He found right thinking. Hallelujah. And it came to the realization. Before he said, I'd made a mistake. But now look at his decision. Verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon the earth I desire beside thee. Ooh, hallelujah. All that from coming to church. I can't help but wonder what would have happened if he laid out the church. I wonder what would happen if he just decided to stay away. Stay unplugged. Don't come back. I talked to someone this week. I'm embarrassed to come back. Are you less embarrassed to live this way? My counsel, I got to warn you, if I count you, I can be kind of harsh. Don't mean to be. It's the apostolic prophetic side of me. I just might get in your face. I told the person, you're ashamed to come back? Are you more proud of your lifestyle? Come on back. I don't know if I can change. Come on back. I know you'll change. I had this in my mind when the person was talking to me. Come back to the house of God. I know you'll change. You'll come back to what you know. You'll come back to what you believe. Hallelujah. He understood his want and need of God. Don't let the devil pick you off. He's drawn a new conclusion here, and this is where we're going to stop. At the end of this psalm, it took him a lot of thinking, a lot of wrong thinking, a lot of decisions. But he finally changed from, I've wasted my time with God, to this. I didn't write this. Asaph did. Or leastways it was given to Asaph to sing. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Do you see the drastic change that I see when I read this? A man who basically wouldn't totally cuss God. He said he's good, but not to me. Badmouthed God, blamed God, told basically the God, you're being unfair because they're blessed and I'm not. Matter of fact, I've wasted my time coming to the church. Why should I go to church? Why should I read my Bible? Why should I pray? Why should I do that? And here he is. Now he's got understanding. For lo, they that are far from thee. Now, I don't know so much that he's talking about those who've never been there, rather than those who've been there and walked away. If I left this fan unplugged earlier, it would not operate. It will not operate until I plug it back in. And I tell you, we can get so far from God. We can stay away. We can lay out. We can not be involved. We fool ourselves. It still looks like a fan, but it's not doing what it's supposed to do. What he's supposed to be doing is in verse 28, declaring the works of God. That's your job. That's my job. Our job is to be a living testimony. Our lives, what we say, what we do, how we act, how we interact. That's a living testimony. Hallelujah. You may not like that. Paul says, you know, your job is to give yourself as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And by the way, that's your reasonable duties. He says, not unreasonable. How can we possibly, and I'm saying this with the knowledge that everyone in here wants to share the good news of Jesus with somebody. There's somebody in your life that you just God, they got to get saved. They're in destruction. They're in denial. Maybe you're the one who's supposed to do the delivering of the good news. But if you're all running, now you may not like the word King James, go a-whoring. Pretty strong word, but it means giving your affection to anyone or anything other than the one you're supposed to. Hallelujah. We got nice words for it. We call them affairs. God calls a whoring. And before Christ, we were all capable of that. And probably, maybe, been involved in it. But he says, now, I've drawn my hand to God. I put my trust in God. Now I can do this. Hallelujah. Quite simply, without God, we're destroyed. With them. I missed something there. Okay. With him, we succeed. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I sat in a wedding and was a bit taken back by some of the things that were said. But not a whole bunch, because these were basically unsaved people. I wasn't shocked to find that thinking, but I'm really shocked, really vexed to find that thinking in church people. That it's okay to mix and match, it's okay to do all these things. After all, there are many paths to God. After all, there it is. After all, this just, you know, doesn't matter if you call him the great white father, the great father, or whether you call him Allah, or whether, it doesn't really matter what you call him. You can deal with that in your own thinking. Hallelujah. The church, the called out ones, the ecclesia that we've been studying about, are called out by God for God. It's not the job of the church to see how much like the world we can be, but it's our job to come out from amongst them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and then you will be my sons and my daughters, saith God. Hallelujah. That's not me prophesying, that's the word. Check out Corinthians. That's what the apostle Paul taught. He was prophesying in his letter. How do you come out? How do you separate? Separate yourself from the things that influence you. You want to be stronger in God? Allow yourself to be influenced by godly things. It's really, really quite simple. Will I go to hell for doing this? Well, probably not. God's got a lot of grace. But are you going to be able to fulfill your destiny in Jesus if you keep doing it? Or will you end up like Asaph and find yourself being led to a place where you begin to charge God and say, it's God's fault? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that through men like Asaph and through your writers of your Bible, Lord God, you've brought to us truths, warnings. Lord, you've showed us how to be delivered from one form of thinking into another form of thinking. That we actually do have the mind of Christ, but we must nurture the mind of Christ. The Lord, we have you within us, but we gotta nurture your presence and not the presence of evil. Hallelujah. Father, help us make the right choices in what we read and what we talk about and who we talk about it with. Let us not be afraid to make a separation if necessary. Let's not be afraid to shut off the TV or change the book or change the song we're listening to. Not because we don't like the style, but because we don't like the content. Hallelujah. I don't care if you are invited to the White House. If you're singing about killing cops, I'm not interested in listening to you. That's my choice. That's my choice. If you listen to it long enough, you'll think it's okay to kill those you don't agree with. Help us make the right choices, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, just be with us. Be honest. Be in us. Every time we pick up a book. Lord, I rebuke the spirit of guilt. I rebuke the spirit of legalism. And I come against it now in Jesus' name. Give us the freedom to make the right choices. The freedom to do the right thing. The freedom to come into your house. Gain understanding and go forth and use that understanding to set others free in Jesus' name. If you'd like, you can say amen. I was thinking just before I started praying about a man, some of you know his name's R.W. White. He's an evangelist, or was, from down the panhandle, a place called Dofuniak Springs, Florida, excuse me. I remember him coming to a church I used to pastor, and he told it this way in his own. As only a boy with a drawl could do. He says, you know, having Jesus inside of you, it's like having a big old white dog and a big old black dog inside of you. He says, and the one that gets the stronger is the one you yell sick 'em to the most. See, if you're going to feed the white dog, it'll get strong. If you feed the black one, it'll win. Well, there's two things inside of you. I don't know if you believe in the dual nature. I'm not even going to get into that. But you know as well as I do, there's something in us that wants to do wrong a lot. And if we feed it, if we nurture it, if we agree with it, it'll end up winning. In the name of Jesus, enjoy your Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy your barbecues, your picnics. Have some fun. Father, in Jesus' name, we give all the honor due to the great men and women who've given their lives for this country. I thank you right now for those who are serving that I can be free to preach. Lord, I ask you to bless them. Those who are in, those who are out, those who are living, bless the families of those who are not. Father, may this nation be grateful for those who have given their life for it. Lord, as we go out this weekend, let us serve you. Remember our warriors. And above all things, come back to the house of God that we may gain understanding. In Jesus' name, I prophesy health, wealth, and prosperity. May you be successful in all you put your hands to Jesus. Amen. And amen. Go in peace.